All right. Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah. Welcome home, everyone. Welcome to Thursday night soul food, alhamdulillah. We are going to, inshallah, continue on with our series. We actually only have a couple of sessions left in this particular series, the Being Muslim series. And then, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to continue on with our next study, our next series of conversations, inshallah, which will be a surprise for everyone, alhamdulillah. So, today, we have a really cool opportunity, alhamdulillah, to enjoy not just a regular soul food session, but one that we can engage in conversation with Ustada Fatima, alhamdulillah. So, and as you guys can see, up on the screen, we have a really interesting conversation that's in store for today, which is the idea of self-esteem and self-value and what role that plays in our spirituality, what role that plays in our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. The way that we think about ourselves, does that have any sort of reflection on the way that we see Allah and vice versa? And so we're inshallah going to get started, and what we're going to do inshallah, as we usually do on every soul food night, is we're going to throw out a question for everyone to kind of talk about, converse about, and think about. And Ustada Fatima will also share some thoughts of hers along the lines of this as well. And inshallah, we're going to see and connect back together about the question on the screen. So the first question on the screen, and the reason why I'm asking this question, by the way, is that in Islam, there is a very, very important principle that teaches us that Islam is not a religion in which like you have to fit into like a one box type of thing, like one size fits all. In fact, that there are personalities and characters that quite literally are sometimes very opposite from one another, and you'll see that existing with people like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? For example, you have a person like Uthman ibn Affan, who was extremely shy, generous, a little bit kind of soft-spoken. And then you had a person like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was, mashallah, very strong in his speech and the way that he used to assert, you know, his authority at times, right? And neither of them are outside of what you would call the character of a Muslim, right? And just like they, we are also the same, where everyone in here shares very, very different personality traits. Some people are extroverted. Some people are introverted. Some people are talkative. Some people are very shy and quiet. Some people think that a Friday night means sitting at home by myself and enjoying my time in solitude. And some people think Friday night means I have to text my 8 friend groups or my 20 friend groups that I have and see which one's going to bite, right? So everybody, alhamdulillah, has a different type of personality, but the reality of this is that every one of them can fit within the window and the scope of Islam. What we have to answer today in our session is, how can we use our personality, our character, the one that Allah Ta'ala has given us, to, at the end of the day, appreciate Him, okay? So what I'm going to do, inshallah, is I'm going to pause for literally 1 minute, and I'm going to let you guys talk to each other about this question up on the screen. Which sahaba or personality from our faith history do you feel that you line up with? And then inshallah, we're going to reconvene together and share it. Ustada Fatima, inshallah, will lead us off with that. So everyone, take a minute to talk to each other, inshallah, and we'll get some conversations going, inshallah. All right, So inshallah, we're going to start off with hearing Ustada Fatima's reflection. So Ustada, so if you had to pick one sahaba or personality, one sahabi or personality that you feel really kind of meshes with your own, that you seek inspiration from, or you almost see yourself aligning with in that way, who would it be and why?
All right, first and foremost, assalamu alaikum, everybody. I haven't been to Soul Food for a while, so I'm happy to be here. Actually, like, I know. Shame. But I'm back, alhamdulillah. So this question is interesting because I would hope to be like this person, right? Like, you can never, I guess, like, fully, I guess, embody someone so great. The biggest thing that I've learned before I even say who this person is that when I first started understanding that Islam doesn't necessitate that everybody be like cookie cutter, this is a story or a person that really helped me understand that. And that is Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the reason being is because I think, especially specifically as a Muslim woman, there's a lot of explanation on how you should be that sometimes bleed into personality. And then sometimes you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, like, well, does God not love me because I don't fit this personality trait, right? And so one of those biggest things is like, oh, being quiet. You know, like, you should be quiet, unheard, in a corner, in a room, whatever the case may be. And, like, maybe you have a bigger personality, and that now you're like, okay, well, maybe I don't fit into that box. So, like, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not love me because I don't fit into that box? So when you hear the story of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and her personality, and how she was someone who was very educated, and she was someone who was not afraid to, like, show that education. Obviously, she wasn't showing off, but she was in a position that she had to make it be known that she was educated, right? When you are preserving literally the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and you're preserving one-third of our deen, like, there comes assertion with that, right? I think so. Being able to learn about her lifestyle, learn about the type of person she was, and then you have the fun stories of how she was like a very fun person. And I believe in work hard, play hard. Okay, maybe work hard, play harder, right? Because that'll help you, you know, be able to be good at your job, right? And so how she used to love to race and she used to love to be entertained and all of these things. It then reminds you that Sahaba too were human, and it allows you to be okay with being human. You know, and I think the biggest place that I've learned in the life of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha has been in the places where she's made mistakes. Because a lot of times we feel like, you know, we have to be like this perfect person. And yes, we do aim for ihsan, we aim for sincerity, we aim to be better. But in the times that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha maybe took her personality a little bit far, somebody will explain, she knew how to rectify that mistake or that situation. You know, so the story that comes to mind is, you know, there was a time where someone else had sent food to the Prophet's home, and it was a time where she was there, and she was known to not know how to cook. So for her, it was extremely offensive, and she broke the pot. You know, because she was so upset about the situation. And the Prophet was like, yeah, but you broke someone's property. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to replace it. Right? Like, it just shows, like, her personality shined. She did what she did. She was able to, like, apologize for that situation, but she didn't apologize for being herself. And that's, like, huge, and it's important to know, because as you grow and you're in a position of, like, especially being in college, man, like, that's where you're really solidifying on habits and who you are and what you're coming into and who God created you to be. It's so important to have people to look up to, one, that you can kind of, like, fill parts of your personality with, and two, to not be afraid to be yourself. Like, to not be afraid to be yourself and to know that Islam allows you to be that person.
Open it up, inshallah, to everybody around here. So what did you guys discuss, inshallah? So what is one personality or character, alhamdulillah, from our own faith tradition that you guys feel like you align with? Did anybody have any good conversations about this? Who wants to share? Anyone in here? Who's one person that you seek a lot of inspiration from, or one story that really kind of hits you hard on a different level? Anybody? Who wants to go? Yes.
One story is with Hazrat Umar. Mm. It's that one where I think it was the Prophet said, if shaitan is going one way and Umar is coming the other,
Oh, yeah, subhanAllah. Same with the Prophet where he said that, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu was such a avid, he was such a cognitively aware believer that he would always look out for shaitan wherever he was. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he told Umar radiallahu anhu one time that, you know, if shaitan would walk down one street, or if Umar radiallahu anhu would walk down one street, shaitan would look, take one look at him and walk the other way. Because that's how much he was against what shaitan was about, right? So who else wants to go? Who has one that they want to share, inshallah? Any of the sisters? Yeah, like that lighthearted thing, right? I know a lot of people, they think about becoming Muslim, they're like, you have to be serious, you have to have frown marks on your face, right? That if you want to be a good Muslim, you have to be completely serious all the time in all walks of life, except you hear these narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, who, mashallah, used to joke around with his companions a lot, right? The companion that Taymor is actually bringing up is a companion by the name of Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to play jokes on the Prophet ﷺ randomly in his life. He was like a troll, basically. One time he brought the Prophet ﷺ a jar of honey because he knew that the Prophet ﷺ enjoyed it. He enjoyed eating it, but he didn't have the money to pay for it. So he brought the guy who was selling the honey to the Prophet. So he goes, hey man, I bought you a jar of honey. And the Prophet went, oh man, thank you so much. Jazakallah khairan. And Nu'man goes, oh, by the way, you owe him like 10 bucks. And the Prophet, like, and the reaction of the Prophet was so special because he appreciated that personality. I want you guys to imagine this. You know how we stereotype religion sometimes? Imagine if the Prophet went up to Nu'man radiallahu anhu and was like, hey Nu'man, don't you know that that's lying? No cheating in transaction, brother. The Prophet, he took that moment as a moment of lightheartedness, and he appreciated that, right? Very, very good. Anyone else want to share? Yes, go ahead. Yeah. 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 Yeah, they used to say that if you want to find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battlefield, look for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, because he'll be right around him, right? What an incredible person who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pretty much his entire life and also ended up becoming his father-in-law, okay? So now, inshallah, I want to turn our attention over to this question, right? Because now we kind of laid out the base foundation that Islam has so much room for the variety of people's personalities, right? So now when we introduce this topic of self-esteem and self-value, because sometimes we are, in fact, our own worst enemies, we tell ourselves, well, I don't look religious enough. I don't know enough. I'm not knowledgeable enough, right? I had one person, and I don't know if this is like far-fetched for some people in here, but I remember I had one person a year ago who came to Soul Food one night, and they were telling me, is this something for people like me? And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, I'm not really like, I can't read Quran well. I said, well, what does that matter? You're here, alhamdulillah. How do you not know that the person behind you, what if they're not even Muslim, right? So sometimes we psych ourselves out, and because of that, we miss these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in our lives to truly benefit ourselves. So Allah and His Messenger must address it some way or the other, right? So Ustad, I want to ask you this question. Are there any moments in Quran, right, where we get any advice from the Prophet ﷺ or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran specifically about this idea of valuing the self, right? How do we value ourselves?
Yeah, for sure. There's actually like two things come to mind. There's one hadith that just came to my mind, my bad. And then there's one ayah that comes to mind. But before I get to the ayah, I think the hadith is really important because when we look into the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about how the Prophet ﷺ, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That most definitely, without a doubt, you'll find in the Messenger of Allah a very perfect role model. And so our responsibility is to look into the Sunnah as a means of inspiration and as a means of something to follow. And so this narration came to mind where the Prophet ﷺ, he's addressing his people, and you have to understand that these are people who are from different walks of life, right? Like you have people in Medina who are farmers, but you have people in Medina who also like spent a lot of time with the Jewish nations and the Christian nations, and they were like scribes. You had people who were unlettered, like they didn't know how to read and write, but you had people who were at the highest level of education. So there were so many humans and people that the Prophet ﷺ had to work with, and the Prophet ﷺ says in a narration, "Annasu ma'adinuka ma'adin al-fitta wal-dhahab." He says that people are gold, are mines of gold and silver. And then he says, خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ خِيَارُهُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ, that the best of them in the times of ignorance were the best in the times of Islam. And this is such a beautiful thing, because Prophet ﷺ is saying that every single person has so much potential in terms of their personality. Now my dad, he always says this thing. My dad is a typical foreigner father, okay? And what he does is he likes to give it to you straight. And my dad would say that the worst thing that somebody can have is potential. He said, because potential is unused energy. So imagine a mine full of gold and silver. If you do not like extract that, then what is it? It's dirt. It's nothing. You look inside, you don't see anything. You extract it, it's what? It's gold and silver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our personality and who we are. And he tells us in Surah Taha, when he's talking about Musa alayhi salam, he says, وَاسْتَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي, right? Musa alayhi salam is going through objectively one of the most difficult times in his life, and he has to face a battle that if we were told to face it, we'll be like, God, I don't know if I'm your strong soldier, you know? Like, this is a little much, you know? Like, I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to do these things, but you want me to go and stand court in front of someone that literally their only goal is to kill me? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally tells Musa alayhi salam, وَاسْتَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي, I crafted you, I created you, I made you, I have bought you exactly for myself. Like, as in, we have so much potential to be the best versions of ourselves and to truly come into our personality, and our responsibility is to actually act on that potential. When we think about acting on potential, though, something that ends up happening is that we end up creating a lot of doubt. Right, a lot of doubt within ourselves. And that doubt that we create within ourselves typically results from like mistakes that we've made. It may result from even like doubts that we've had in our own mind about certain things. And we're not able to come into our full self. And we call this paralysis by analysis. Right, you were like thinking about it. Well, like, how can I be good at this if like I can't? It take me 8 years to upload a file. Like, how am I supposed to be good at this? You know, my brother, he's gonna get really mad at me because I'm calling him out. But I told him to come, and he didn't come, so it's his fault. He's like coding. He's like, they want me to make like 3 websites. I'm like, yeah, that's your job. But he's like, it's so hard. Like, how am I supposed to do it? How am I supposed to do it? Like, you're sitting there, analysis by paralysis. And when it comes specifically to our relationship with Allah, we make certain mistakes, and we hear you should pray, you should make dua, you should do dhikr, you should do all these things. And the first thing that comes to your mind, well, I did this, and I keep going back to this sin, and I keep making this mistake, and I keep doing this, then there's no way that Allah's going to forgive me. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran, he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Qul," say, "Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim," to my beloved servants, that they've crossed their own boundaries. Because when you do something that causes you doubt or you do something that brings you down, it's you doing something to bring yourself down. Does that make sense? Like, you've wronged yourself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to my beloved servants that cross their own boundaries, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Why? Because God forgives all sins. And the interesting thing here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you may view yourself in a certain light. Okay? You make a mistake, you do something wrong, you say, I'm never capable of being a better person. But God, the one who created you, is saying that you have every single opportunity of being a better person. That you are not your mistakes, you are not your flaws, you are not your incapabilities. Rather, these are just starting points for you to be better. There are launching pads for you to come into your full self. This is actually what makes you who you are. Sometimes we don't realize it, but the mistakes that you make or the things that you're actually not good at is what makes you great, right? Anybody in here will classify themselves as a perfectionist? Type A personality, Yeah, you probably take great notes, okay? Type A personality, perfectionist. Maybe you don't classify yourself as a perfectionist. Anybody get upset when things don't go your way? Okay, how about when you get in your own way? How angry do you get? And then do you just like sometimes feel like, I just don't want to do this no more. I can't. I'm done. You're done. Yeah? You can't do that. You cannot be done. You know why? Because that problem's going to be there tomorrow. You have to ask yourself, am I ready to come into fully who I am? And what that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is molding you to be yourself. He's molding you to be you. He is showering you with mercy to be you. He's giving you the space to be yourself. And just like the Prophet ﷺ says, that people are like these mines of gold and silver, sometimes you have to go on a discovery of self. Who am I? Why am I this way? Why do I like to do X, Y, and Z? Do I really like to do this thing, or do I do it because somebody else is doing it? Right? These are important things to be able to ask yourself. So those are a couple of verses that kind of come to mind. I know I was not supposed to give you all those verses, but it's okay.
It's interesting. When I think of this question, I don't know how many people have read Surah At-Teen, right? It's a very beautiful surah, shorter surah in the Quran. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. So Allah actually teaches us a little bit about like the quality of your build, okay? He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ, right? And I want you guys to think about that real quick. He says, verily, we have made y'all, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ, you people, فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ, from or of this incredible like mold, okay? Like you are not created by chance. You were created very purposefully. And that's one of the, you know, the scholars, they talk about this extensively. They say that one of the biggest honors of any existing life is the idea of purpose, right? That you're built with some sort of purpose and direction in your life, even if you do not see it. That every day you wake up and you feel like that redundancy in your life, you feel like you're taking the same classes, you're like an eighth year senior, you're going through it. Touch home a little bit with everybody here, right? So you're going through it. But know that Allah, when He says, fi ahsani taqweem, you are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be something, right? Because the word taqweem is really interesting. It means that when something is kind of separated out, it doesn't make too much sense, right? Like you have like one part here, one part over there, one part over here, one part down there, and there's really not much sensibility in that entire thing. But when you put it together, it becomes something absolutely amazing, right? So Allah, think about just the way that Allah talks about you in the Quran. And one of the other things I wanted to share with y'all is, if you don't believe me, just look at that entire scenario that unfolded with Prophet Adam alayhi salam and Iblis, right? That when, you know, Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, there was actually, obviously the malaika, the angels, are not ones who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but angels actually have their own thoughts, okay? I think Muslims unfortunately misinterpret what angels are. They think that angels are like these robotic beings. They're not. They actually have thoughts of their own. And we have narrations about this, that Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to the Prophet ﷺ and tell him that, Ya Rasulullah, if you need me to take care of this guy, just let me know. Give me like that sign and I'll do it, right? He was almost like the Prophet ﷺ's older brother. So when Allah created Prophet Adam alayhi salam, the angels, they would look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they would say, Ya Allah, why would you create like this being? You know what I'm saying? Like, look at this guy. Look at this girl. Like, they are going to cause so much corruption, right, upon the earth. And they tell Allah, they say, وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ, that all we do is we praise and glorify you the way that you deserve to be praised and glorified. Like, why would you even think about creating something else, right? Like, this thing's going to cause so much corruption everywhere it goes. And Allah Ta'ala mentions to the angels, He says, قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know something about them that you don't even know. Like, I want everyone to pause for a second and internalize this right here. Allah defended you to the angels in the heavens. Allah took a moment of His time to defend you to things like Jibreel, to creation like Mikael and Israfil. And now you think about it like, man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had my back. And, you know, it leads to this next question, because at times, alhamdulillah, you might know that you're beloved, right? Alhamdulillah, people grow up in families sometimes. If you're blessed enough to grow up in a stable, alhamdulillah, a happy, you know, sheltered home, you know that your parents and the people that you're around, your social lives, your social circles, they love you. But at times, you begin to listen a little bit too much to those surrounding waswasa that really kind of like take shots at you, right? And this story plays right into it. Because when Adam alayhi salam was created, Shaitan takes one look at him and he says, you created me, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire, you created him from clay. Why should I bow down to him? I'm way better than him. Imagine if Adam alayhi salam paid attention to that. Y'all know like this whole conversation of self-esteem, we're thinking about like, oh man, like think about all the external factors that we take into our hearts about the way that people talk about us. Oh, like this dude is definitely not 5'11", he's 5'8", right? All you brothers. This person definitely doesn't have this degree, that person has, no. Like, imagine if we internalize every bit of waswasa we hear about ourselves. But Adam alayhi salam, what he internalized was in fact what Allah told him about himself. That I created you, I made you, I molded you. Obviously, if you're created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's value in you, right? So, Ustad, I wanted to ask you this question. How do you now kind of practically appreciate that concept, right? How do you practically appreciate that? And how does one start to begin the journey of learning how to tune out how others think about you and allow yourself to define who you are instead of other people?
I think, you know, obviously I started off with the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that laqad kana lakum fi uswatun hasana, you'll find a perfect role model in the Prophet sallam. It's absolutely imperative to study the life of the Prophet sallam. And the reason why I say it is because at his time in preaching the message and all of these things, like, there was nobody that people hated more than him. And it was especially hurtful because, I know, you know, hopefully you'll touch on this a little bit, but it was especially hurtful for the Prophet ﷺ because these were people that he loved and that had, at one point they loved him, right? Like, these were people that when they saw him, they would be like, oh, that's my man. Like, he's truthful. He's trustworthy. He's amazing. He's a good time. Da da da. This and that. And all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him this, you know, incredible mission and this incredible responsibility. And it's the definition of two-faced. Right, is the definition of people now coming to him and saying, oh, you thought you were all that? Ha, just kidding. Like, why, if God was going to send a messenger, he would probably send somebody far greater than you. Like, these are the things that people were saying to his face. And you would say, like, okay, well, sticks and stones, you know, but words, you shouldn't let those hurt you. So the Prophet ﷺ is not hurt by them, but he's hurt by them, right? He's hurt by them, and you see time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, fasbir ala ma yakulun. Right? Be patient. Not patient as in like sit there, let people tell you off and then be like, okay, it was cool. No, like as in move forward. Like, these are not your friends. These are not your people. Like, these are not the people that you take inspiration from. These are not the people that you allow for them to define your personality. You don't get to do that. Why? Because you have something much bigger than them at stake. I think the biggest place that we see the Prophet ﷺ experiencing a high level of difficulty ends up even being categorized as Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness, the year of difficulty for the Prophet. And in that year, you would think that when someone is like down and they're going through it and they're down bad, you know, at least people will have a little bit of grace. You know what I'm saying? Like, even people on Instagram will be like RIP to somebody they don't like. You get what I'm saying? Like, they will like at least a little bit of grace. And the Prophet is going through this moment where he loses his wife, who had supported him from the beginning, someone who showed so much loyalty to him, someone that they had such a great relationship that there's no reported, you know, narrations of like an argument, right? Like, they loved each other so much. This is where he literally sought solace from in a moment where he thought like the world was coming against him. And then he loses his uncle, who not only supported him, but died in a very interesting way, that he's surrounded by so many non-Muslims and all of these things. So the Prophet is down bad. And he goes to Ta'if, and when he goes to Ta'if, not only do they like stone him and all these things, but they're yelling at him, telling him, you're nothing. You're nothing. You will never amount to nothing. Like, you're here, you refugee, you this, you that, like using it in such a derogatory manner. Like, how could you come here and seek refuge, right? And the Prophet was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm coming here to bring you all kinds of good, right? And in that moment, when he's sitting in the tree at the stump of the tree, and Jibril alayhi salam comes to him, this always brings me to like a moment of gratitude and a moment of realization. Because in that moment, when Jibril alayhi salam comes to him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, what do you want me to do? The Prophet could have been like, I'm alone and I'm nothing and I won't amount to nothing. And he could have said, I don't want this mission anymore. I'm done. I can't handle it. I can't bear it. He could have said all those things. But had he given up and not had hope and not had any faith and not had thought of himself as anything, we wouldn't have Medina. We wouldn't have Medina. We wouldn't have the Zayd bin Thabits, you know? We wouldn't have the incredible stories of Medina flourishing and like what we have of it today. But in that moment, the Prophet ﷺ, he acknowledges that people were rude, right? He tells Allah, he says, I'm just gonna make dua to Allah. And he says to Allah, like, these people, they're so wretched and terrible. They're horrible the way that they treat people. And are you going to leave me to them? Then he says something very powerful. And this is recognizing who created you and recognizing who made you who you are. And he says in that moment, but if you leave me to them, but you're not angry with me, O Allah, then by all means do it. Like, I don't care what people have to say, but I care what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of me. And I know that sounds like super cliche, right? You guys were like, yeah, I knew she was going there. She was going to do it. But it's the reality of life. If you walk around caring about what every single human being has to say about you, you're not living your life. You're not living the life that God has told you to live. But so long as you walk around caring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of you and how God views you, you will not do wrong by other people. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Hadith Qudsi? That when he loves someone, what does he tell Jibril alayhi salam? Love this person. And then what does Jibril alayhi salam do? He calls out to the heavens and he says, everybody love this person. And then that person is also loved in the world, right? When you do good and you do right by who God made you to be, you will flourish. Like the possibilities of what you can accomplish, and I'm not talking about in like a worldly manner, I'm talking about like in your personality, in the comfort and confidence that you can have. When you are able to be confident in who God made you, you will flourish in this world. And so I think a big part of it is reflection. Because when you're sitting down and you're thinking about all the things that you're not, what about the things that you are? What about the personality traits and the parts of you that God has given you? And I think a big part of being like, well, I don't have anything good about myself, is ungratefulness. It's being very ungrateful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so much innately, right? Your fitrah is for you to be awesome. This is why when people come and they ask us questions like, oh, do we all have to study Islam full time and that's the only way to be a good person? I'm like, God gave everybody many talents. And someone being a talented architect, for example, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you that brain and that mindset on how to do that, and you not taking that talent and soaring with it is you being ungrateful. Why? Because Allah gave you that talent, right? Someone's like an incredible graphic designer. Like, you asked me to make a flyer? Good luck. I will draw you some stick figures, okay? We're going to slap a date on there. It's probably going to be misspelled, and we're going to call it a day, right? Bismillah, okay? You know, like, Allah gave you a talent, and it's important for you to show how grateful you are to God for that talent by engaging and making sure that you're the best at it, and the best at it for you, not for somebody else. So the first part that I think a practical element is being able to be introspective and being grateful, right? Being able to be introspective and being grateful, like, assessing yourself and saying, wow, these are amazing things that I didn't do for myself. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to me. I think the second thing that, you know, we talk about the internet a lot, that the internet is, like, really on the hype about is affirmations, okay? Look in the mirror, tell yourself you're great. Don't do that, okay? I mean, if you want to, by all means to you. But affirmations. But these affirmations in form of adhkar, dhikr, right? When you're thinking about things that maybe you don't have or you want to have or whatever, saying Allahu Akbar, like, God is greater than this thing. You know, like, what does that do? It brings you back to Allah. It brings you back to the one who created you. It brings you back to the one that gave you these things. and saying alhamdulillah, like being able to say like alhamdulillah, you know what, I went to class every day this week. Like alhamdulillah, I got a B on this test or an A, because your parents would be really mad if you get a B, okay? Saying alhamdulillah, my GPA is not plummeting, okay? Because that's like the reality of, say alhamdulillah, I'm going to get my GPA up, okay? Because that's like the reality. It's the reality of the things that have an effect on like your self-esteem. And I'll say the last thing is action. You have to be. You have to get up and you have to keep pushing. When someone, because there will be a lot of outside factors that will always tell you you're not enough. And when people or things are constantly throwing it in your face that you're not enough, you have to get up and be enough. You have to, because that's who Allah made you. Allah made you enough, right? Who are you enough for? You're enough for God. And that's everything. And so you have to get up and you have to keep going. You have to keep pushing, because when you don't, the only person that ends up being ruined is you. The only person that ends up not being able to live a fulfilled life is you. Those people are sleeping happily at night. You know, they're living their best life, and you're stuck on what somebody else has to say. It's not good for you.
I wanted to share one thing. When it comes to the outside noise, I want everyone to understand that the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never to be a negative outside noise for people. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the one who used to tell people about their goodness when they did not even believe it. And I think there's a lot of us who sit in our communities today who write ourselves off as certain things. And we say, we are not worthy of going to X, Y, and Z. We are not worthy of being in this setting. And my only advice on this particular kind of statement here is just look at what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do with people who used to struggle really, really seriously with their own viewpoint of themselves. To the point where when he was traveling to Medina, he was supposed to be robbed by these two men who used to kind of like surprise every traveler that used to walk down this certain path. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would, before they even had the chance to like come out from behind the rock and like ambush them, the Prophet alayhi wasallam was like, all right, I already know you're here. Just come out. I know you're here. I know you're here. I've heard about you guys. And these guys are like, you know, it's crazy, subhanAllah. I know this for a fact, that people who have been talked about their entire life, they know about this stuff. They know those insecurities that creep out when it comes to social gatherings or other people near them. And so they looked at each other and they were like, man, he's like asking us to come out? Like everyone usually hides from us. And the Prophet ﷺ, he goes, no, you know what? Here, you come sit with me in the middle of this valley. We'll sit together and have a conversation. So they sit in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And he asks them, who are you? Tell me who you are. And their response, subhanAllah, I can guarantee you that it would actually shock psychologists today. They look at the Prophet ﷺ before they even say their names and they say, Nahnu muhanan. We are two bad people. That's how they introduce themselves. I want you guys to think about the way you introduce yourself for a second, right? We usually say our names and then that second line. I want to ask you why you say that, right? Like, hey, assalamu alaikum, I'm Bilal. I'm a, you know, software engineer, right? Or like, hey, I'm Amina, I'm a mother, right? Like, why is that second thing the second thing you say after your own name? There must be a reason. It's not just random. It's because you feel that that's a valuable part of who you are. That teaches people about your identity. These two guys, they don't even say their name. They look at the Prophet ﷺ and they say, Nahnu muhanan. We are two bad people. It tells you a lot about the way they think about themselves. And the Prophet at that moment had a choice. He could have looked at them and said, boy, you're right. Like, I've heard about your track record. You're the guy that comes to the masjid, like, you know. Like, he could have said so many things.
He could have been like, swipe or no swiping.
Yeah. He could have been like, haram, stealing. Right? Like, he could have dropped so much on them. But at that moment, he read the situation and he said, no. you are not bad people. You've made some bad decisions, but they do not define who you are as an identity. We have to start, and by the way, these people exist in your life. You know, we all think this like weird new generation concept that like it's me versus the world, you know what I'm saying? Like everyone hates me, right? No one gets, like, no, that's not true, man. Allah Ta'ala gives you so many gems in your life. Like the same people who complain about the friend group that they have, their beautiful friend group is quite literally like a text message away. But you won't reach out. Forget about marriage. That's like the worst one. Can never find a good person. They're right there. But we just don't want to reach out. We don't want to humble ourselves and accept the fact, like Ustada Fatima mentioned, there's a lot to be grateful for. And think about the impact that had on these two people. The mercy that they were shown, it led to so much softness and gentleness within their own heart for other people. You know, like the idea of like sadaqa jariya, like the gift that keeps giving? Imagine, and by the way, the scholars, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Ibn Rajab, they write about this. They say that mercy is actually sadaqa jariya. When you show one person mercy and truly help them find themselves, it's contagious. That person will now tell somebody else about how beautiful and how valuable they are. And it all started at a moment where you just had a little bit of wisdom and you realize that this person's had enough in their life. They can't handle anymore. I need to give them something that they will get closer to Allah with, right? Which now leads us to our final conversation, which is, how does this all now tie back to Allah Ta'ala? Ustadh, you want to kind of share a little bit of thought on this, inshallah?
Yeah. So the way that self-esteem and self-value kind of ties back, and we talked about this a little bit, is when you view yourself in a negative light, you typically view Allah in a negative light. And so there's a hadith Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am to my servant how my servant thinks of me. If you think of yourself and you think of God to have created someone terrible, to have created someone who's not kind, someone who's not this, who's not that, who's not beautiful, who's not handsome, who's not tall enough, since you brought it up, all these things, then you've now said that Allah has created deficiency in you, right? And you're now saying that Allah does not, wa'udhu billah, you're making it as if God does not know what he's doing. Does that make sense? And so the way that it bleeds into your spirituality is that you then start to worship solely based off a feeling, and our worship is not about feeling, you know? So the most common question that I get, especially like being a woman in community, is what if I don't feel like wearing hijab? I don't feel like it. My answer will be very honest every single time. It's not about how you feel. It's about what God has told you to do. Now, if you're struggling, that's a different conversation. Feeling is a conversation. If you, for example, I don't feel like getting up for Fajr today. Again, it's not about how you feel. It's about the responsibility that you're supposed to fulfill, right? What we don't realize is that though there are certain things, obviously, Islam has things that are difficult to do. And though there are certain things that may be difficult for you to embark on in that moment, sometimes you don't realize that embarking on that, even though you don't feel good about it yet, will actually be what helps you develop a level of security. It's actually what helps you feel better, that you've been missing a level of submission in your life to God for so long. And you've submitted yourself to your own nafs, to your own self, and that has done you no good. When you sacrifice for the sake of Allah, what ends up happening is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you safety, right? He gives you the sense of accomplishment. He gives you the sense of safety, the sense of understanding, the sense of what's called tawakkul. And so when you don't have that value in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you end up not having value in yourself. And it's just a trickling effect, you know? I teach a woman's halakha on Sundays. It's a bunch of moms, other people too, so come through. But not you guys, I'm sorry. But my favorite thing to tell them is misery loves company. Because what happens is that when you're not feeling good, right? So say, for instance, I say, today, dhuhr, not my thing, okay? I don't feel like it. I'm not feeling good about myself. I don't feel like getting up and praying. Don't want to do this. Somebody else comes, they're like, you know, I'm not feeling praying. You're like, me too. Both of you guys decide not to pray. Misery loves company. what happens is that you hype each other up in the worst way possible. And so the way that your self-esteem bleeds into your spirituality is that the more that you have trust in Allah, whether you're feeling great about yourself in that moment or not, you know that God created you in greatness. And therefore, out of wanting to fulfill that greatness or wanting to be grateful to Allah for the good that he's done for you, even when you don't feel like doing something, you're like, I'm doing this solely for you, Allah. And that is what ihsan is. The Prophet says that ihsan is not perfection. It's not being perfect. It's not healing the nail on the head. No. Ihsan is worshiping Allah as if you can see him. And even though you cannot see him, you know that he can see you. Even though you do not want to fulfill certain things because you're human and that's the human side of you, you still fulfill it. And what happens when you fulfill your responsibility to Allah, you feel more content. An-nafsul mutma'inna. You feel more contentment. And the more contentment you feel, the better you feel about yourself. So what I'm saying is that self-esteem and value, it actually comes from your dedication to Allah. It doesn't come from your dedication to yourself. It doesn't come from your dedication to other people. It solely comes from your dedication to Allah. The more that you submit yourself to Allah, the better you actually do feel about yourself.
I really wanted to finish off today's session with this ayah in the Quran, inshallah. So I'm going to put it up on the screen so everyone can see it. And inshallah, it'll kind of like tell itself. Man, Quran, you really don't have to do much with it. You can just literally share it with people and you guys will appreciate it, inshallah. So up here is this ayah in Surah Al-Qasas, okay? Just to give you guys a little bit of a disclaimer, this is basically about the story of Musa and his mother, right? The separation between a mother and a child. And at this point, Musa had already gone downriver and ended up in the home of the Pharaoh, the kingdom of the Pharaoh, okay? And so Allah Ta'ala, he mentions this after he was picked up by, you know, Asiya, the Pharaoh's wife. The mother of Musa did not have any idea of any of this stuff. Now check out how Allah depicts this scene right here. He says, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ رَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ He says, the next day, after she had lost her son, he says, her heart وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا Her heart felt empty. Okay? And he says, إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ رَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Had we not given her heart strength, she would have disclosed everything about her son to the Pharaoh. Now check this out. Y'all want to be blown away real quick? This is incredible. In the beginning part of this verse, Allah says, by the way, there are two words used for the word heart right here, okay? The first one, Allah uses the word fu'ad. The word fu'ad. The second one, he uses the word, anyone? Qalb. Very good. What's the difference? Fu'ad is the heart that you have, the part of your heart that's extremely emotional. Y'all know that? The heart that feels, the heart that's happy, that's sad, that's grief-stricken, that's excited. All of those great emotions are a part of that heart that's called fu'ad. And here Allah says, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا That she felt empty. So as a Muslim, like Ustada mentioned, you don't have to be like this happy person all the time. How many of us are tired of hearing that whole thing about like, oh, you're sad? Go make dua. Oh, you're sad? Go pray. No. Some of the most devoted Muslimin are people who struggle with mental health. Some of the most devoted people who are loyal to Allah are people who wake up in the morning and they may be upset. So Allah says that about the mother of Musa. He says, look, her heart was empty. But, لَوْلَا أَنْ رَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Had we not strengthened her qalb, her spiritual heart, she wouldn't have been of those people who were believers. So I want you guys to appreciate this. Like Ustada echoed here, that there will be moments where you wake up and you'll realize, man, like, I don't feel the best. She mentioned about Salah, Dhuhr, Fajr, Asr, you name it. You might wake up and be like, yeah, I'm not feeling that right now. But when you go back and you think about every moment that Allah Ta'ala had your back, and now check this out, in this last part about her story with her child Musa, he says, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ And we returned him back to her.
We got them back together. Why? Because Allah promised you. Allah told you that this would happen. And not only that, كَيْتَ قَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَا. So she will not be sad anymore. Do you think that Allah, and Ustadha talks about this a lot of times in her own classes, do you think Allah wants to see us sad? No. Allah takes no joy in seeing people having self-esteem and self-value issues. A lot of times we do these things to ourselves. But the minute that we remember that Allah Ta'ala is the same one that caused me to have my happy moments, then we appreciate even those moments that we're upset. And how do you act that out? She mentioned it in her last point, is that that affirmation, that action, that's where that plays in. Because right here, y'all know the tafsir of this is wild. Because when he was returned back to her, that was one promise of Allah. Anyone know the second promise of Allah when he took Musa away from his mother? That he would return him back to her as a prophet. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says that when he was returned back to her, she knew Allah was always true to his promise. And so from then on, she treated her son like the son that she loved and also the prophet that he would become. She would never doubt anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised ever again. So think about how, you know, the way that you think about yourself, the way that you value yourself, it really, really plays a huge role in the way that you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And allow it to play a beautiful, beautiful role in your relationship with Allah. And allow it to paint a beautiful image of your relationship with Allah ta'ala. Ustadha, anything that you wanted to end with, inshallah? Inshallah, we'll end with that. This was a little bit of a heavy session, inshallah. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who not only, alhamdulillah, think value in ourselves, but never allow that value to be addressed to us, but at the end of the day, allow that inner value to be addressed back to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow every moment of peace and tranquility, and even every moment of hardship and trial, to be one that leads us to His worship in the way that He deserves to be worshipped. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka. One or two break. With Jazakallah Khairan, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate you guys very much. Inshallah, we will be seeing you guys again next Thursday for another edition of Soul Food. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.